If you will, take your Bible and turn to Psalm 30. Psalm 30 is where we will spend our time this morning. We'll also look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you want to put a finger there or bookmark. But Psalm 30 is where we will hear from the Lord. We will listen to His Word and pray and jump in. Psalm 30, this is the Word of the Lord. I will extol You, O Lord, for You have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to You for help, and You have healed me. O Lord, You have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you His saints, and give thanks to His holy name. For His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By Your favor, O Lord, You made my mountain stand strong. You hid Your face. I was dismayed. To You, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise You? Will it tell of Your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing Your praise and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to You forever. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pause now to ask for Your blessing upon Your word, that it would be delivered to us in a way that we could understand, that You would open up our eyes, that we would see wonderful things in Your word. Lord, that You would open up our minds, that we would truly understand it, that You would move us by the power of Your Holy Spirit, so that we would hear and live in such a way that gives You praise and honor and thanks. Father, we desire to hear from You this morning, so would You come and teach us? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take a day today to pause from our study in Colossians, but not really. I want to take a moment just quickly to kind of click refresh for a second for those of you who were here last week. But if you were not here last week, I want to share just a bit from Pastor John's sermon from last Sunday. His passage was from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, where Paul says, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." Now, Pastor John taught us about walking in Christ, what that looks like. But as we walk, one of the foundational elements of our walking is to give thanks, the element of thanksgiving. He went on to tell us how thanksgiving is really an important theme all throughout the letter that Paul wrote to the Colossians. So this morning, we are going to really zero in on the last phrase in verse 7. That phrase is abounding in thanksgiving. The whole worship service this morning has been dripping with thanks to God. From the call to worship, to the declaration of truth, the prayers, the hymns that we sing, all thanksgiving to God. And so as God talks to us this morning, as we talk back to Him, we give Him great thanks for who He is and all that He has done. Christians walking together with thanksgiving, abounding in thanksgiving with Christ. But I'm in somewhat of a dilemma here this morning, because if you pay much attention to the community recently, it seems to me that people want to skip Thanksgiving. You've probably seen it in your news feed, as I did several weeks ago in my news feed. I saw something and it goes like this: "No one is skipping Thanksgiving. October the 1st through the 31st is Halloween. November the 1st through the 27th is Christmas. November the 28th day is Thanksgiving. And then November the 29th through December the 25th is Christmas again. As well, the Hallmark Channel has been playing Christmas movies since October the 25th, before Halloween. And I'll tell you, yesterday, really, it was a perfect day to just get all the Christmas decorations out from the attic or the garage and to put up your Christmas tree. I'm sure some of you probably did that. And don't get me wrong, like I think it was great. I've been known to our family put up our Christmas quickly, and then we've also been known to take it down really late, February sometimes. So we've kind of gotten in trouble for that in our neighborhood in the past. That's been my fault. But don't get me wrong, I understand the joking behind this kind of meme, and I'm all for Christmas coming. I'm not talking about this week. I'm not talking about a holiday, an American holiday. I'm not talking about the holiday this week with pilgrims and family and turkey that's really all getting snuffed out real quickly by shopping. I'm not talking about that. But what I am talking about is sometimes we as Christians can unintentionally, or even intentionally in some cases, we can skip Thanksgiving. Instead of abounding in Thanksgiving, we lack in Thanksgiving. David, carried along by the Holy Spirit, has something to say about that in Psalm 30, so we want to take a look. We want to start by looking at the context of this psalm. The heading above the psalm reads, "A Psalm of David, a song at the dedication of the temple." Now, this is interesting because David, being the author, he wrote this song to be sung at the dedication of the temple that he was not alive to see. If you remember from 2 Samuel 7, King David had built himself a house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies. He was in the goodness of life. That life where goodness and mercy follows you all of your days. He was there. But David's desire, however, was to bring the ark of God out of the tent it was in and to build a grand house for the Lord, a temple for the Lord. And we read from 2 Samuel 7, "But that same night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, 'Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? The Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever.'" That was David's son, Solomon. Solomon built the house for the Lord, and he, along with all of the people of Israel, dedicated it in 1 Kings chapter 8. And so as we read Psalm 30 here, there's really no mention of the temple. There's no mention of Solomon. There's no mention of the dedication festivities. Now, why is that? Well, I believe we can understand from this that David has come to the end of his life. He's come to the end of his life, and we know he made preparations for the building of the temple. We know that he passed down the importance of the temple to his son Solomon. We can read all about that in 1 Chronicles 22. But David didn't build the temple because the Lord told him it doesn't work that way. We don't build for the Lord. We can't build for the Lord. Ultimately, the Lord builds for us, and all we can do is give him thanks. All David could do was, as he looked back on his life, he looked at and he thought about the goodness of the Lord. He looked at all that the Lord had brought him through, all that the Lord had done, and he gave him thanks. Psalm 30 is a song of thanksgiving to the Lord for carrying David all of the days of his life. Carried him through the ups and the downs, the sins and the victories, the good, the bad, the ugly. He surveyed his life, and he gave thanks to the Lord for his blessings and his care and his love. Psalm 30 is a psalm of thanksgiving. And so it's appropriate this morning that as God's people, we come to Psalm 30, we pause from our lives. And now I know for some of us, just pausing is quite difficult. But it's my job as your pastor to help you to pause. It's our job as pastors to help God's people to pause and consider the things of the Lord. We need to pause from our lives, look back on and think about all that the Lord has done, the good, the bad, the ugly, and give Him thanks. So this morning, we will use Psalm 30 as our guide to do just that. We want to begin by asking a question: who is God? And why is this important? Well, for us to properly thank God, we must properly know God. And in today's world, God is becoming more and more skewed, more and more ambiguous. See, I can go out to the University of North Georgia onto the campus where college students are, and I can ask the question, who is God? And I can get a myriad of answers, and have. Who is God? I don't believe in God. There is no God. As a matter of fact, I can be God if I want to, some say. I don't even know if there is a God. Who is God? Doesn't really matter to me. That's what my grandmother did. That's not my issue. You know, I can see God in these trees, in this school. You get a myriad of answers from college students today. But it's not just college students. And it's not just on the campus. I was recently walking out of Arby's for dinner this past week in Braselton, Georgia. And I was approached by a man asking if I went to church. I said, well, yes, I do. I'm a Christian. And I thought, man, this is great. I don't have to engage him. He's going to engage me. But then he proceeded to ask me if I had heard of the message of God the Mother. I was dumbfounded. I hope you are dumbfounded as well. He continued to evangelize me with God the Father's counterpart, God the Mother. Two gods. He actually compared the two like shoes, each for the other. And then he tried to use the Trinity to explain God the Mother. He even told me that she has revealed herself on this earth just as Jesus is God the Father in the flesh. So her name is Jerusalem, God the Mother in the flesh. Friends, to properly thank God, we must properly know God. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, question number 4, says, what is God? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. In His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Question 3, as well, says, what do the Scriptures principally teach? Answer, the Scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God. And what duty God requires of man. The Bible tells us who God is. The Holy Scriptures tell us all that we need to know about God. We don't get to decide for ourselves. We don't have that kind of authority. We don't have that kind of wisdom. So at the beginning of this psalm, David tells us just a little bit more about who God is in verses 1 through 3. He says, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. God is the one who rescues us. God is the one who restores us. He's the one who protects us. God is the one who heals us. Now, we don't know the exact circumstances as to why David wrote these specific characteristics of God. But certainly, certainly he looked back on his life and he remembered God showing himself in these very specific ways. But maybe it's more important this morning for us to understand that God is the one who answers us. God answers our prayers. See, David makes the comparison here of where he was before to where he is now. He says, I was down and out, but you've drawn me up. I was anxious about my enemies, but you've not let them overtake me. I needed help, and you heard me, and you healed me. I was in the grave. I was in Sheol, and you restored me to life. How has God shown himself to you recently in very specific ways in your life? I want to challenge us to pause and to give him thanks for who he is and all that he's done in our lives. And then for us to extend to him all that he deserves. Well, what does he deserve? Well, let me start by saying you don't have it in you. And I don't have it in me either. David recognizes his feeble attempt to praise God by himself in isolation. And he calls on the saints of God, the congregation, to join him in giving thanks. Verse 4. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. The holiness of God should cause the people of God to bow down and worship. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And Isaiah goes on to say, and the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Friends, we cannot come in contact with the holiness of God and stay the same. God's holiness demands our thanks. It demands our praise. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. You know, all of the choirs and all of the congregations and all of the world don't have enough praise to give to God all that he deserves. And though we don't have enough praise to give to God what he deserves, we deserve to give all that we have. Verse 5. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Now, like David, I've been there, and I'm sure that you've been there too. We know that the despair of life is real because we live in a broken, sin-filled world. But what was it that David was thinking about here? What was going through his mind as he wrote these words? Could he be remembering hiding out in a cave, fearful for his life? Could he be remembering his episode with Bathsheba? Could he be remembering the suffering of losing his son? Maybe he was remembering all of these and other times when he lost sight of God during the dark night of the soul. What is life like on this side in the night? Anger is for a moment. Weeping is for a night. Struggle is real. Pain is hard. Life is difficult, but it's all short-lived. God's favor is for a lifetime. And joy comes in the morning. Thankfulness is the marathon. Pain is the sprint. Which race are we running? What is life like on the other side of the dark night? On the other side, God always, always, always comes through. And our response should be to always thank him on this side and the other side. Charles Spurgeon said this, the very remembrance of the past should tune our harps, even if present joys be lacking. Speaking of lacking, a lack of thanksgiving, I want to move to the middle section of this psalm. Just as a side note, thanksgiving psalms often, not always, but often follow a three-part structure. The first part is an introduction, reasons to give thanks to God. The middle part will be some type of testimony, and then the closing will be a renewal of thanksgiving. So if you're with me so far, we've looked at reasons to thank God. Who is God and what does he deserve? Plenty of reasons there, who he is and what he deserves. But we move into the middle section. This is David's testimony or David's experience in life. We read in verses 6 and 7, as for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face. I was dismayed. Unfortunately, when things were going really good for David, he skipped out on Thanksgiving. in his prosperity. There's another translation that says, when he was secure, he thought nothing could stop him, that he was as strong as a mountain. David had experienced the favor of God on his life, and in that sweet spot, he neglected to thank the Lord. He neglected to understand that it was the Lord that made him as strong as a mountain. As Christians, we have a term for that. C.S. Lewis writes a book called Mere Christianity, and in that book, he has a whole chapter about this term. The title of that chapter is The Great Sin. He says that this sin, the great sin, leads to every other sin. And he goes on to say, in God, you come up against something which is in every respect immeasurably superior to yourself. Unless you know God as that, and therefore know yourself as nothing in comparison, you do not know God at all. As long as you are proud, you cannot know God. A proud man is always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you're looking down, you cannot see something or someone that is above you. Now, how did David end up with the great sin of pride? Well, I think it happened the same way it happens with you and me. Let's see how that goes. Let's follow down that trail. It begins with a lack of thankfulness. Skipping Thanksgiving, if you will. A lack of thankfulness leads to the thought that I've done things all on my own. When I think I can do things all on my own, I don't really need the Lord. When I think I don't need the Lord, it'll lead me to forget that He's even there. And finally, forgetting the presence and the watchful care of the Lord leads to the great sin of pride. I want you to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy 8. As we look at the first 9 verses, we see there that the Lord did everything for His people. You can see over and over again how the Lord gave and the people received, the first 9 verses. But then we come to verse 10. Let's read from verse 10. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His rules and His statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that He might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers as it is this day. For the Christian, forgetting the Lord and not thanking the Lord for all the many blessings that we enjoy in life is the great sin of pride. David testified to this pride in his life, but then he follows that with a testimony of speaking about his utter dependence on the Lord, verses 8 through 10. To you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me, O Lord, my helper. David pleads for mercy, and he prays for the Lord to sustain his life. But where does that come from? If you go back to the end of verse 7, you'll see that David broke. David broke. The passage says that David was dismayed. The idea here is being terrified or crushed or shattered. And rightly so, when God hides His face from me or you, we should be terrified. It should make us feel as if we've been crushed. all the while causing us to plead for his mercy and to cry out for his help as his children. See, I believe that just like David experienced here, at some point in life, everyone breaks. For the Christian, when you break in life, whatever the reason might be, it could be sickness, it could be cancer, disease. You could break because you lose someone you dearly love. Or it could be anxiety or depression. It could be that someone that you love wronged you. Whatever it is that causes you to break as a Christian, you fall upon the Lord, hopefully. Because underneath are the Lord's everlasting arms, and he catches you. And as he catches you, he molds you, and he helps you see his goodness in your life, and you turn and give him thanks and praise. But for the non-Christian, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you break, and it could be for any of the same reasons, sickness, death, emotional struggles, betrayal, whatever it is that causes you to break, when you break, non-Christian, you fall on your own. And you attempt to make it on your own. And you'll continue to do this until you end up in the grave. My plea for you today, non-Christian, is that you would turn to the Lord and fall upon his grace given to you freely in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As a result of David breaking and falling upon the goodness of the Lord, his life then becomes one full of thanksgiving, abounding in thanksgiving. Verses 11 through 12. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Pride kills thankfulness. But now we see that prayer expresses thankfulness. Singing to the Lord expresses our thanks to him. In fact, a heart that doesn't sing to the Lord reflects a life without thankfulness to the Lord. David refuses to stay silent. Why is that? Well, if you haven't noticed yet, the whole psalm speaks of God lifting David up out of the grave, out of the pit, out of darkness, out of weeping, and bringing him into life, into restoration, favor, joy, light, into gladness. You know what? God has done the same for me and you as well. He's lifted you and me up, and he's freed us from our sins. And the way that he did that is by lifting his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, onto a cross to die for our sins. Jesus was buried, but God lifted him up out of the grave because death couldn't hold him down. And then once again, God lifted him up and seated him at the right hand of the throne of God where he's interceding for you and for me. He's praying for us. Friends, these truths are so often so familiar to us. So familiar that we forget them. And as a result, we lack in thanksgiving. May that not be the case today. But may we remember and abound in thanksgiving. Now, as David closes this psalm, as most psalms of thanksgiving do, he closes it with a renewal of thanksgiving, a rededication, if you will. Now, I know Presbyterians aren't much for rededications, but on the authority of God's word from Psalm 30, I challenge us all to renew our desire to thank the Lord for all the many blessings that we enjoy as his children. And if you want to talk about that, if you want someone to pray with you, I would love to pray with you, whether it's as we sing or in private later. Let us know. We would love to talk with you. But this last verse, verse 12, is like the culmination of the psalm. After David has surveyed his life, it's the final stanza, the part when the music fades out. There's nothing to get in the way. It's just our voices singing to the Lord. He sings that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. We might sing, and on that day, when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 reasons, that's not enough. 10,000 years, it's not long enough. 10,000 years and forevermore. Praise to the Lord. Oh, let all that is in me adore him. All that hath life and breath now come with praises before him. Let the amen sound from his people again. Gladly forever we adore him. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we do want to pause now from our busy, busy lives. We want to pause and to give you great thanks for who you are and all that you've done. Father, just like David has come to the end of his life, we're busy leading our lives, living our lives. But God, we want to properly thank you. And though we can't give you what you deserve, we want to give you all that we can. We want to worship you. We want to bless you. We want to praise you. We want to glorify you with everything we have and everything we are. So receive our worship, we pray, O Lord. And we ask, Lord, I ask, if there's anyone here who doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior and they're struggling with the idea of breaking and falling on their own, I pray that you would draw them to yourself, that you would do what only you can do, Lord. You would cause them to fall upon you, fall upon your grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us in Christ and all the many blessings we enjoy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.